This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
The Adelaide Advertiser's journo, Rob Greenwood, joins us now. Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Rob, there have been some explosive reports today. Marco Kurz's two-year tenure at Adelaide United will end in June when his contract expires. Your thoughts on the club's decision?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's one that I guess has been bubbling away for a little while here. I think it's a pretty disappointing decision. I think Kurz has come in and done a really good job. He's built a really close bond with Adelaide United supporters. To be honest, in my opinion, I think he's really worked wonders with fairly limited resources, a pretty thin squad, and not too much backing in the transfer market. So, yeah, look, certainly I think it's my initial response would be it's a pretty disappointing outcome. Unfortunately, not completely surprising, though, given the climate around the club and some of the events that have been unfolding over the past few months.
And Rob, it's Josh here. And what do you think the fan reaction will be to this news? I would imagine that Marco Kurz is, you know, fairly beloved by the Red Army.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I think if anyone wants to get an indication of the fan reaction, probably just get on their social media on Twitter or Facebook and have a look at some of the supporters' comments sort of in relation to this this decision. Yeah, look, as I said before, look, he's really built a strong and close bond with the supporters here. I mean, anyone, even if you've seen Adelaide United matches on TV, his passion on the sidelines and his will to win is really second to none. And certainly from a journalist's point of view, having dealt with him really closely since he arrived at the club, look, I have nothing but, you know, the highest sort of things to say about him in terms of his professionalism, his conduct, his knowledge of the game, and his ability to sort of work with players, whether they're experienced players towards the end of their career, young players coming through, and to really get the best out of those players and help them improve, and really just say get the best out of and at times quite thin and a squad that hasn't really been topped up maybe the way it should have been. You know, I think these are all qualities that Marco has shown in his time here. And from the supporters' point of view, I think early indications are that most aren't too happy to see him go at the end of the season.
And we can see just from our Facebook Live comments, Rob, Roger's come through saying, can't believe how Adelaide United have treated Marco. Someone's replied to him saying, except I can believe it, same old Adelaide. So I'm not sure if you share those thoughts. But, yeah, I think this could majorly backfire for the new ownership. What do you think are the main motivations behind this decision?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, as I said before, I think the writing has been on the wall, unfortunately, for a little while. It probably stems back, obviously, the new owners came in, I think it was March last year, the new sort of consortium led by Reds chairman Pete van der Pol. Obviously, Kurz was hired by the former owners, which I guess can sometimes lead to, you know, maybe the new owners coming in and wanting to bring in their own people to sort of head up the on-field side of things. I guess the first signs that, you know, the cracks were appearing were sort of around the December-January mark when Kurz was entering into the last sort of 6 months of his two-year contract. And there was a lot of speculation around whether the club was going to re-sign him. The club then put out a statement, I think it was sort of early January, saying that they had agreed with Kurz to hold off all contract discussions until later in the season. There wouldn't be any further discussions around it. Well, unfortunately, that really just led to more speculation. And I guess more questions from supporters, from media, from observers of the game, questioning, you know, you've got a really highly credentialed coach here who won the FFA Cup earlier this season. You know, why aren't moves being made to lock this guy into a two or even a three-year contract? So I think that certainly started the process and the speculation. And I guess the press conference last week where Kurz himself admitted that he'd been trying to get in contact with Pete van der Pol for over a month and hadn't been able to, it probably wasn't a great sign either. So, yeah, in terms of motivation, look, I guess only the owners themselves know. Certainly, I guess from our point of view, looking on the pitch, I think he's done really well. He's certainly galvanised the squad, galvanised supporters. But as I said, I guess when new owners come in and they have a coach that they haven't hired, they might always have a different view and a different, just a different vision for where they want to take the club and then who they want to be leading the team on the pitch.
Who do you think might replace Marco Kurz?
Look, it's hard to know. Obviously, the decision has only just come through here. One name that I think has been thrown around a little bit is potentially John Aloisi. Obviously, he's an SA-born former player and obviously a highly successful one. Finished up with Brisbane Roar earlier this season, so he's available, has very strong ties, as I said, to the city and the state here in South Australia. So, look, he's certainly one that I think would be in the frame. I guess whether he'd want a job or not is another matter, but I would certainly think he would be a potential replacement. Another name that has sort of bobbed up a little bit in the past few weeks is a Dutchman, Robin Westerman, who is, according to the club, is on his way to Adelaide United to take up a community coaching position. He held a similar role with Qingdao Red Lions, who is Adelaide United's sister club in China, who is also owned by the same consortium which owns the Reds. And so Westerman, a Dutch coach who is apparently on his way to Adelaide to, according to the club, as I said, fill a community coaching role. But who knows? I mean, maybe he is someone that the owners have earmarked as someone that could potentially step in and, if not coach the A-League side, maybe be an assistant or play some sort of role in the coaching team that they're planning. Outside of that, look, I guess it's a bit of an open field. But I think given the Dutch connections with Pete van der Poel, with the owners, I wouldn't be surprised if the new coach had some sort of Dutch link.
Yeah, just stereotypically, and it was me spitballing before, I thought they might bring in a Dutch coach, and that connection certainly makes sense, do you think? Perhaps Kurz's style of play, you know, doesn't really agree with the new consortium. I mean, stereotypically, the Dutch like to see football played a certain way, and I don't think Marco Kurz, for the results that he's delivered, really falls into that sort of total football category.
Yeah, potentially. But my personal view is I think the owners have to be realistic with the resources that they've given Kurz to work with. I guess January was a great example where the squad had sort of three recognised centre-backs. The club sold Taylor Regan, got rid of him, so they were down to two. It's pretty well known that Kurz was keen to obviously reinforce in that area. No new centre-back came in. We only have to look a couple of weeks ago where both Jordan Elsie and Michael Jakobsen were injured, and I think Adelaide United lined up with a midfielder and a right-back and a left-back and a three-man central defensive setup. So, I mean, that's just one example of how, Kurz has probably been screaming out for a little bit more support in terms of bringing in reinforcement to a pretty thin squad and hasn't really received them. So, I think it's all well and good to have a vision for playing beautiful total football, but I think most Adelaide United supporters are fairly realistic, and at the end of the day, it's a results-driven industry. And he won the FA Cup earlier this season, obviously finishing in the finals last season. The last four games haven't been great, but up until then, the Reds were sitting fourth and on target to earn a home final. So I think if you ask any Adelaide United supporter, a top four finish and an FFA Cup win, I think most would be fairly happy with that. Just in terms of the owners, I think the most concerning thing out of the statement that was released by the club today was a quote attributed to Marco Kurz in that statement, basically saying, "During my meeting with Pete, obviously van der Poel, I realised quickly that we do not have a common vision for the future of Adelaide United. Our goals are very different, and therefore a renewal of my contract does not make sense." So I guess that says it all. What those goals are of the owners, no one really knows. But the fact that I guess Kurz feels they're some distance apart from his own goals, I guess sort of says it all.
Do you think it has anything to do with the development of young players and bringing them through?
Yeah, look, that's certainly one aspect that has been sort of thrown out there in recent weeks. I'm not sure that's one really that can be levelled at Kurz, though, because, he has brought through quite a few young guys. I think there's about three or four off the top of my head, teenagers that have made their A-League debut in the past two seasons. And certainly he's one that hasn't been afraid to blood young players and to bring them through and to give them an opportunity. Sometimes he's been forced into that, as I said, because the playing stops haven't been that deep and they have been hit sort of quite hard with injuries in the past couple of seasons. But, I think if the club is more focused on developing young players more than the results, which seems an odd approach to me for a professional sporting club. But that is the case. Well, I think Kurtz is really ticking that box as well because, as I say, quite a few young guys have come through and have been given their opportunity at A-League under his leadership.
Well, I think we're pretty much in agreement, Rob. I think if the club wants to play better football, then they're going to have to put their money where their mouth is and not just, blame the coach for the results, considering, Adelaide United have, I think, the smallest budget out of the top six teams. So, I'm not sure, as you say, the youth development thing can really be levelled at him. What the goals of the club are going forward remain shrouded in mystery, as this whole consortium has been. So, I'm yet to be convinced that this ownership is really what's best for Adelaide United.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. I think, shrouded in mystery is a pretty good way to sum it up. Obviously, Pete van der Poel, the Dutchman, is sort of the face of the ownership consortium and the chairman. Beyond that, no one really knows who else is on this sort of leadership group. As I said earlier, there is links to China and to a club there. But other than that, no one really knows. So, it certainly doesn't appear to be, and I'm not surprised, that doesn't appear to be a particularly popular decision not to extend Kurtz's contract beyond this season. And I think, the owners really will probably be facing a bit of backlash from supporters. It's going to be interesting to see in these last few home games of the season what the reaction of Reds fans is. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some pretty disgruntled fans in the stands at Hindmarsh. I guess the ball's sort of in the owners' court now. They've got to come out and find a replacement for Kurt, someone that's going to, sort of galvanise the supporters and galvanise the squad, and maybe we might see a considerable rebuild. Adelaide United has a fair chunk of players coming off contract at the end of the season, so we might see a new coach coming in, a chunk of players going out, and some new personnel coming in. So look, it's certainly going to be an interesting few months here with the Reds, and to sort of see how it all unfolds.
Absolutely, and before we let you go, Rob, I did want to draw your attention to the Adelaide MPL side of things and the excellent coverage, I must say, in the Adelaide Advertiser, which I think gives more airtime or space to MPL football than pretty much any other newspaper in Australia. So fantastic stuff on that front. And what's it like having the bona fide star Marcos Flores back in MPL South Australia?
Yeah, well, I mean, firstly, thanks for the feedback on the coverage. Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting start to the season, and I think sort of bolstered by the fact we had a handful of pretty high profile recruits come in. Obviously, Marcelo Carusca has come back here to Adelaide. He's playing for West Adelaide, one of our former National Soccer League clubs. The other one you mentioned, Marcos Flores, lining up for Adelaide City again, another former NSL power. He's been fantastic. Just a really infectious character as he was when he was here with the Reds in the A-League. And some of you might have seen the goal he scored, I think it was about a fortnight ago, for Adelaide City inside his own half. He's obviously a few years older than last time he was here in Adelaide. But he's certainly lost none of that flair and that skill. And I think just that entertainment value. He's that type of player that supporters love going out to watch. And he scored again on Friday night from the penalty spot. So he's had a really positive impact so far. A great personality to have in the league. And it's been an interesting start to the season. Adelaide Olympic sitting on top of the standings. Probably a club that a lot of people wouldn't have picked to do that well. But they've recruited quite well. And quite an open competition here. So we're looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season pans out.
Fantastic. And just before we let you go, FFA Cup coming up. What's the biggest chance of an upset in South Australia? What's your pick for the David versus Goliath turn up for the books?
Yeah, well, we had our round one draw yesterday for the, you said, the SA phase of the FFA Cup. Some interesting ties. I think the big one that jumped out at everyone was West Adelaide, who we just mentioned before, obviously boasting Marcelo Carrusco. They've actually drawn a Sunday amateur side by the name of Tea Tree Gully City. It's away, so it's at Tea Tree Gully's home ground. It's a chilly reserve, so it'll be quite an interesting fall from grace for the likes of Carrusco to go from the luxuries of the A League as a sort of star import in that competition to playing a Sunday amateur side in a couple of weeks' time. So that's going to be a really interesting clash. And as we sort of always say, just sort of sums up, I guess, the beauty of this competition that seeing that the big boys take on some of these amateur sides and smaller clubs is kind of what it's all about. So I think that's my pick of the standout fixtures. Whether Tea Tree Gully can pull off a huge upset or not, it remains to be seen. But certainly going to be interesting to see how that one pans out.
Well, Rob, keep up the fantastic work. Thank you so much for joining us, and Forza Tea Tree Gully City.
Absolutely, guys. I'll pass that on to them. Thanks a lot for having me.